This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
We're going to talk about alopecia, which my simplistic understanding is a condition that leads to hair loss when the body, and I don't know how it does it, starts to attack the hair follicles. And research shows that alopecia affects black women in the main. Now, I don't know why that is as well. And so we have asked a dermatologist, Dr. Pauli Limpofu, to just come and tell us a little bit about it. Now, I say sensitive because for all women across races, your hair is your crown. Your hair is the defining aspect of your femininity and beauty. And in some cultures, you know, a woman's beauty is so intrinsically linked to her hair that when a woman cuts her hair, it's seen as making too bold a statement, too much of a kind of a feminist militant statement, some people would say. The softness of a woman is seen in her hair. And so when your hair starts to fall as a woman, it really triggers a very serious emotional reaction from you because you believe that society is going to judge you. And so talking about this condition, creating some understanding around it, might help develop our sensitivities towards it. And let me just tell you that there are some prominent women who recently have come out to disclose that they've been battling hair loss. One of them is Jada Pinkett Smith. And in fact, it was when Chris Rock made a joke about Jada Pinkett Smith showing up bald-headed, ngechiskop. That was the reason Will Smith went and slapped him publicly, because he had really touched a nerve, a very sensitive nerve, concerning his wife. Other women are Olivia Bentley, Jessie Nelson, Zara Lena Jackson, and we've also had in South Africa, Gail Mabalane, and this representative Ayanna Pressley of Massachusetts, who just decided once upon a time, just cut it all off. But you'll see it in women. Sometimes the hairline has been pulled back, and that's called traction alopecia, and it's got to do with braiding your hair too tight. And then the older women get, you can see sort of a small thinning in the middle of their head as the hair starts to fall off, creating a little bit of a bald patch. And I recently saw my hair thinning a bit, which is why I made the decision just to cut it in the bathroom. But by grace, it's growing again. But I don't know if I'm suffering alopecia. Maybe I am. But Dr. Pauli Limpofu, please help us. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Ma. So first and foremost, I gave a very simplistic dictionary definition, but what is alopecia and what causes it?
Yes, there are many, many causes. The one that you described, that is autoimmune, where the body attacks its own follicles, that's alopecia areata. Okay. That one is across the board. All races get it at all ages. There are many causes. I mean, in our community, traction alopecia, as you've mentioned, is also a very common one. But you must remember that traction alopecia usually complicates the other alopecias, because alopecia is just hair loss, and there are many causes, traction being one of them. Pulling the hair, I noticed some people stop braiding professionally, but they braid every night, amagoda. And that also pulls the hair. So they continue to get traction even though they don't braid at the salon. So we have to stop all forms of pulling. There's also structural damage that can cause alopecia, which can be caused by chemicals, laxatives, dyes, especially if you combine it with traction. There are genetic conditions, the one you mentioned, the androgenic alopecia, which is the hair loss in older women. It's because of hormonal changes. It's because of testosterone. But we also have other hormones that can contribute to hair, like thyroid. When thyroid is high or low, we can get alopecia. In our community, we have the worst kind of alopecia, the one we're talking about, which is common in females, the inflammatory types. We have two types that we deal with in our communities. The one is called central centrifugal secretorial alopecia. Mm. Gail has come out to talk about it, so we can't hide that. That's what she has.
What does it mean?
It's the one where you have hair loss on the crown, on the top of the scalp. But the how you differentiate it from hormonal? Because I hear you mention that older women get hair loss on the crown. Mm. But the CCCA type, which is scarring and permanent, also causes hair on the crown. But it has symptoms most of the time. There's itchiness, there's burning sensation, sometimes there are sores. So when you have that type of alopecia, it cannot be hormonal. It's an inflammation that has to be treated.
Okay.
That's the common one.
Okay, so there are many types of alopecia.
I haven't even gone to half of them.
Okay, let's talk about the ones that would afflict South African women in particular. So
all of them do, but the catastrophic ones that I worry about because they are diagnosed late and they cause permanent hair loss is the CCCA, the one Gail talks about, the one that is on the crown, on the top of the head.
Yes.
You find loss on the top of the head, but it itches. And it's inflamed, and sometimes there's pain. Mm. Normally, hormonal acne doesn't have any symptoms. So when you have symptoms, you should have a biopsy to see whether it's not CCCA. Because CCCA causes permanent damage, so it has to be diagnosed early.
Okay. So I'm interrupting because I just want to simplify this for all of us so that we understand what we're dealing with here.
Yes.
Okay. So there's many different kinds of alopecia. Some are autoimmune. Some have to do with...
Autoimmune is the one that you mentioned earlier, but it's not very common.
Okay. So I'm just breaking it down. So there's some are autoimmune. Some has to do with braiding, the traction alopecia. Some has to do with getting older. Some has to do with inflammations internally.
Yes.
Okay.
That's
we should be aware of it. So you've spoken to us about the symptoms of the CCCA.
Yes.
What are other symptoms? When should you be thinking to yourself, no, man, something is not right?
When you're itchy, when you have that loss on the scalp and it itches and it's painful and sometimes you get sores and it tends to run in your family, you have other family members that have it.
Okay, so let me explain to you what I mean. So you see women, especially older women, and in Elokshin there's a terrible term, but umuntu nengipsi.
In gypsy is the hairline. There's another one also which is inflammatory. People think it's traction all the time, but the bad one is not caused by traction. It's just worsened by traction, but it's actually an inflammation. That's the one called frontal fibrosing alopecia. They have to consult so that we tell them, because it's difficult to really do it, because we need to diagnose it properly so that it can be. They look the same, but they have differences here and there. Traction alopecia is the one you talk about in gyps. Is the one that is on the hairline, isn't it?
Mm.
But frontal fibrosing alopecia is also on the hairline, but it has other associations. The skin gets dark, you lose your eyebrows, you get dark on your armpits and in between the thighs. So it's not only the lips, it's associated with darkening of the face and loss of eyebrows and other, and that's the bad one because it also is not, when you lose the hair follicles, they don't come back.
At all?
At all. So that has to be diagnosed quick. The problem is that patients think it's just ordinary nips, and they just stop braiding, thinking it will clear. But it needs medication. So even if you think you have nips, don't just not... it's an English issue here. You have to go...
Speak it, Mrs. Zulu, go ahead.
You have to go to a dermatologist because it's difficult to tell them apart.
Mm.
We also sometimes struggle to tell them apart, and we have to biopsy to be sure.
Okay, so what is going on in your body? So let's take away AMA braids and start talking about these ones that are physiological. What is going on in your body when your body starts to attack these follicles that are not just at the top of your head, but they could be in your armpits as well?
Alopecia areata. That one is an autoimmune condition like you can have eczema, like you can have lupus. It's when your body develops antibodies against a particular structure. You can get vitiligo when your body attacks the pigment cells. Then you get lightening of the skin, or they can attack your hair follicles. Then you get hair loss, or they can attack your kidneys and you get lupus. It's just that when you get It's an autoimmune. It's automatic. Yeah. You can't explain it.
Yeah.
Your body just develops antibodies against itself.
And so basically what you're saying is something else is happening in your body. It could be in your kidneys. It could be somewhere else. But it then consequently leads to hair loss. So you're treating the hair problem, but actually you should be treating maybe a kidney problem.
I was giving examples of organs that can be attacked.
Yeah.
That the hair can be attacked, the kidneys can be attacked, the skin can be attacked, different parts of the body can be attacked by antibodies. Your own cells fighting against itself. That my main my cry to the nation is that go for a diagnosis. Don't just go for lasers. We have people that go for lasers and they go for PRP to try and treat when they have inflammatory alopecia. It gets worse.
Mm. Okay. So I need to imagine it's a asazi doctor. I need to, this is the problem.
Yeah.
So when you go to the salon and then the hairdresser into yo, oslerato. Try this product. It's hair food. And then you're on this hair food for 6 months and the hair is not growing. And you think that's your issue, but your issue is somewhere else in your body.
Somewhere else, yes. And what you should also remember is that the CCCA type of alopecia, the one on in the center, I don't want to say the Gale type, but I mean, I'm trying to separate
them. Just give us a sense, yeah.
Yes, that the one that is on the crown, that one, if you apply too much hair food, you make it worse. Because then the hair food gets trapped in the hair follicles, becomes stale, and then becomes an inflammatory, it creates an inflammatory response. So the hair foods that are applied continuously actually aggravate the condition.
Okay, and so we also spoke about older women losing their hair. And that's not just a black women's problem, but we live in South Africa majority, and so you see what you see. And so what's happening with women at menopause where some start to see, it's not that you lose your hair, but it gets thinner.
Yes, there are two types that can happen. The hormonal one, which is caused by testosterone, loss of testosterone. In fact, it's not loss, increased testosterone. It happens in postmenopausal women. We get the, it's called the female type androgenic alopecia. It's a type of hair loss. The whole head gets thin, but it concentrates on the frontal aspect. That one is because of we can treat it. We can adjust the hormones and improve it because the follicles are intact. It's just that there's a problem with the growth of the hair. That one at least is reversible. The worst ones are the ones that are not reversible. There's another one also that is common in older women called telogen effluvium. That's also thinning of the whole area of the scalp, not necessarily on the front. But that one is also severe after stress, if you have severe stress, or after surgery, or after childbirth. But it's also common in older women.
I like that you're talking about stress, because stress afflicts everyone across generations.
Yes.
It's not an older woman's problem. In fact, it's probably a working woman's problem, managing too many things. And so hair starts to fall or thin when you get stressed. What's going on in your body that would trigger something like that? Because we think stress is just kind of emotional pressure.
Yes.
So why does it have a physical reaction in the form of your hair?
Many parts of the body are affected by stress. Blood flow is affected to organs. It aggravates, stress actually aggravates everything. We see that even eczema gets worse, psoriasis gets worse. It just lowers your threshold to any condition.
So you can't
stress
fight back.
It lowers your threshold to any condition. Yes,
so
you don't have the ability to kick back when something attacks you. It doesn't create diseases, but it worsens whatever you have.
So it just breaks down your immune system so that you're not in a position to fight back.
Yes. Some medication can also cause hair loss. So we should always remember that. When you have hair loss, you need to give a full history of what you're taking. Some medications are known to cause hair loss. Something like acne treatment, we know about chemotherapy.
Yes.
Yes,
so killing off the cells. So this is what we were told, is that, you know, the body's made up of a lot of stem cells which regenerate. And in a woman's body, this was I was told, the only part of your body that doesn't have stem cells are your ovaries. This is why a woman has a finite set of eggs. But everything else can grow back. When you cut yourself, your skin grows back. If you cut your toenails, they grow back. Everything else grows back, including
back
the hair.
Follicles. They need follicles to grow back in the hair, as far as hair is concerned. But if the follicles are damaged by inflammation, like in CCCA and FFA, even though you have the ability to grow back, you don't have the source that can grow because the follicles are damaged.
Okay, so what's going on in the hair follicles when they get damaged? Explain that. Maybe just take us to that level of biology.
When you have an inflammatory condition, like the conditions I've mentioned, you get lots of cells that fight off the infection in that area, the fight off the inflammation. And then as a response to inflammation, you get scarring. So collagen is deposited in that area, and it obliterates the hair follicles. That's why it looks shiny when there are no follicles. Because there's collagen there, that it obliterates those hair follicle openings. And then the hair cannot grow and it cannot push out because the collagen will have formed above it.
I see. And this is also why...
Collagen formation is how the body responds to inflammation.
I see. So you've got this shiny patch at the front of your...
In the area where there was inflammation.
Oh, my goodness.
Then we know that the hair follicles are not, even though you have the ability to grow hair, it won't grow because the source of hair growth is absent.
Sure. Okay. So what are the treatments available? Because we first start at the hairdresser who thinks your issue is that your hair is not growing because you're not looking after it well. And they'll recommend everything from coconut oils to shea butters to whatever. And you'll be doing this treatment. You'll be going to the hairdresser every 3 weeks trying to get your hair to strengthen and grow back. And meanwhile, it's not in the hair. It's in the it's in the immune system. So what are the treatments medically that people should follow?
The different diseases have different protocols of treatment. But what I should mention is that the hair foods that we use, if they have amla or they have mustard oil, they can actually aggravate or even cause frontal fibrosing alopecia, the GIPS that we were talking about earlier on. It has been proven with research that some ingredients in sunscreens, especially titanium dioxide, and some ingredients in hair foods, amla and mustard oil, can aggravate or cause the alopecia.
Yeah. Okay, Doc.
So that should be people should not use products that have that. Otherwise, when you already have the problem, we have to diagnose what it is because different things are used for the different ones.
Yeah. Okay, Doc. We've got a lot of people who want to speak to you, so maybe I could just, in the interest of time, get you to talk to them very quickly. Ulunga in Johannesburg, you've got something to ask?
Hi, Loretta, and thank you. I have a daughter who's 8 years old now. When she was around about 5 or 6, she did braids. And then when the lady that was taking out the braids, when she got to the root where the hair get tied with the braids, when she got to that tip, she accidentally pulled the hair out. And now the hair is not actually growing at the back of her head. I'm not sure in terms of what can we do or where can we go for that.
Lunga, when was this?
She was about 3 years ago, to 4 years ago.
Okay, so Doc, a three-year-long problem.
Yes. It has to be diagnosed properly because it sounds like it's traction alopecia, which pulls the hair roots permanently. But sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's alopecia areata, it's called ophiasis, which can be along the hairline. It needs proper diagnosis so that we know whether those hair roots are retrievable or it's permanent. You can't lose them permanently. If you pull the hair, but sometimes it's not that.
Doctor, people will say, oh, if you go for micro something laser treatments, it can stimulate it.
Laser, PDO threads, PRP do not treat inflammation, but they can encourage hair growth, like in hormonal losses or in telogen effluvium, the ones that are caused by stress or post-surgery or post-childbirth. But it will not clear inflammation. So those that have, before diagnosis, you mustn't go for those treatments before you are diagnosed to know which type of alopecia you have. They help for improving the hair growth because they increase hair blood flow to the area. But they help when there's no disease. It's just poor hair growth.
Okay. Tebogo and Sasselberg? Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to talk about the meteorological aspects, ne? When we talk about the stress in relation to the loss of the hair, it is like when you have got stress, you know, our hair, it grows on the layer skin. We call it mycelium layer. So when you are shocked, we got stress. It's like stage 6 load shedding of the body. Things cannot work, you see?
Okay.
Yeah, so the other thing, according to that brother, whom his daughter pulled the hair, sometimes it happens that that layer, when that layer is, for example, you have been burned by fire. If that layer it is removed, there is not more than that chance of growing again the hair. Okay. Yeah, that's what I want to contribute about that.
Okay, thanks for that. Doc, do you want to add?
No, that's what we're saying, that if the hair has been pulled, that there will be permanent damage. But I don't want them to think it's because before diagnosis. Because it could be other causes.
Yeah. Listen, so patient says, you know what, thank you for this topic, Lerato. I suffer from it. I've noticed many black women suffering from it. There's an opportunity for an educational campaign, especially for hairdressers, to empower them and their clients. What could we do about that, doctor? Because we, the hairdressers, are at the coal face, and that's the first port of call. And they're not medical practitioners.
Yes, that has been my cry, honestly. Because early diagnosis is important. I always felt very frustrated when they say someone must come for treatment when they're just conditioning the hair, when the real problem has not been diagnosed. So I get worried when hairdressers are not recognizing abnormalities that should be diagnosed. Because the most important thing here is to diagnose the cause of the thing and then treat it. Because different modalities are necessary for the different problems.
So, Doc, where can people find you, even if it's just online and they've got their questions for you? Because I suspect from what I can see on the Twitter line, many people would love to engage with you. Not your number, but where can we find you? Where can we make appointments?
As far as that is concerned, maybe they can DM me, actually.
They can DM you. Okay, and what's your social media thing?
During the holiday. Pardon?
What's your social media handle?
Polile.sowazi@gmail.com. That's my... They can send me an email, actually. I think it's better.
Polile.sowazi@gmail.com.
Yeah, I think that's best because I'll see it immediately.
Hey, I can hear that you're passionate. You're even shouting at us. Good to know, man. Get this thing right. So what I've understood...
No.
We love it. We love it. No, I see, Louis, because we need to know...
We're all in it.
You know?
I just want people to realize... Because it frustrates people so much, especially CCCA, the one that damages the top and then the one that damages the hairline. I want them to know that the pigmentation on the face and the loss of eyebrows is a good sign that they should notice.
Okay,
then
thank you.
They should consult a dermatologist.
Thank you so much, Dr. Polile Mbofu, a dermatologist who says you could get in touch with her if you need to know or just read up about it. So alopecia is the umbrella term. What we've learned today is there's different kinds of alopecia. Some are genetic. Some are autoimmune when your body under severe pressure starts to attack the hair follicles. Some have to just do with basic lifestyle things like your insistence to keep on braiding your hair and pulling too tight. And then it leads to traction. That traction is what leads to the hair loss. Others have to do with menopausal hormonal imbalances. And others have to do, and this is the very serious part, when there's inflammation in the body, you might not see the inflammation, but you start to see that something's not right. You're developing acne, your eyebrows are falling off, your armpit pubic hairs and stuff are falling off. You can see this is not right. So you then have to go and visit a dermatologist. So the hairdresser might be able to say to you, I think something's not right. But actually, it's a dermatologist who's going to confirm for you after a series of tests what is not right. And the sooner you know, the sooner you're on treatment, and the sooner you can save your beautiful crown.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.